take our Bibles tonight. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, book of Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 14 through 22. We're going to read about the church of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. When you find your place, let's stand for the preaching or for the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. The Bible tells us this, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eye with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us tonight. God, we need you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be here in strength and power and conviction. And God, help us, Lord, to learn from this tonight, God, and take the word of God and bring the entrance of your word, bringeth light. Bring that light to us tonight, God, and help us to be better for you than when we came here tonight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we read about the church of Laodicea, we get a crystal clear picture of the state of the church in the day and age in which we're living. Yes, these letters to the churches were seven literal letters written to seven local assemblies in Asia Minor. But these letters also represent the seven ages of church history. And as Jesus dictated this letter to John, he was looking through the portals of history to the day and age in which we find ourselves living. You see, the church as a whole has a problem in which Jesus was very clear in identifying. And I like that about our Lord. God doesn't beat around the bush. He just lays it out there. This is the testimony of this church that Jesus said in verse 16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now, as I was studying this, I asked myself the question, what is the definition of lukewarm? Well, if something's not too hot, if something's not too cold, then it's just like baby bear's porridge. It's just right. All right? Which, you know what that means? It means it's comfortable. That's what it means. And that's exactly the perfect word to describe the so-called church of today, comfortable. Comfortable. You know, most Christians, if you would ask them to describe their spiritual life on a scale of 1 to 10, most people would probably proudly put themselves in a category somewhere between 5 and 7. But if we just read the scripture clearly, if we look at the scripture clearly we just read, then you know what that would make Christians who consider themselves in that category? Lukewarm. Lukewarm. And I want to preach a message entitled this tonight, "Comfortable but not spiritual." Comfortable but not spiritual. You see, it was this truth that God used in my own life to begin to work on my heart about starting this church down in Princeton. You see, folks, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I enjoy what I do right now. I love it. I love working for pastor. I love taking care of the school and all the things that I do here. But God began to work on my heart a little bit. And God began to use circumstances and other things in my life to let me know I was getting a little comfortable. And you know what, we'll talk about this later on, but let me just say this, folks. God's not interested in his people being comfortable. He's interested in us being effective, and he's interested in us doing his will. And as I begin to think about, and if those of you who God's spoken to your heart about something, you know, at first you always want to wrestle with God a little bit. And I think that might be a little bit of a natural human reaction. But as I began to wrestle with God, this thought kept coming to my mind about being comfortable. And God used that thought to speak to my heart about what he's called me and my family to do. So tonight I'm not talking about whether or not you keep your house thermostat set at 72 or 78. That's not the type of comfortable I'm talking about, okay? I'm not talking about whether or not you've cut off that little annoying tag off the back of your collar, okay? It's not what I'm talking about, okay? I don't cut them off. I rip them out, okay? I just grab them, jerk them out of there, and most of the time I ruin the seam of my shirt doing that, okay? That's not the type of comfortable I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about in our spiritual lives whether or not we're comfortable or whether or not we're on fire for the Lord. You know, sad to say, as we look around the world today, Christianity, and I use that word loosely, okay, because the world groups Christianity, that's a big umbrella. But Christianity as a whole could easily be described as comfortable as lukewarm. You see, prophecy coming to fulfillment was on display. It's on display as you look around at the so-called churches of the day, and the so-called people who claim who want to take the name Christian. Now I know this testimony, it may not be true about every church, but when the world looks at the term Christian, I'm afraid that's the view that they get. Prophecy was on display with America's number one Christian preacher in terms of numbers not that long ago. When he gave many thousands in attendance his version of hope for their lives. Joel Osteen wrapped up his confirmation of his hope that resides within each by having them repeat his gleefully shouted words. He said with a toothy smile while holding up a Bible, "Repeat what I say." He then proceeded this, "I am favored by God." The audience jubilantly repeated the words, "I am special. I am destined for something great. I am important. I am deserving of all good things. I will overcome all problems. I will defeat all depression. I will take control of mine own destiny." And on the eyes went. As the thousands were in rah-rah ecstasy by the time the head cheerleader concluded. By the way, you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, there was no mention in Mr. Osteen's sermon, I guess if you want to call it a sermon, there was no mention anywhere of sin. All the I wills and I ams, you know who, there was no mention of those giving glory to the one who makes all hope possible. Nowhere was the popular pastor of the moment mentions the hope that is in the reality of the heart of Christians' glorious destiny, salvation from soul-destroying sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. None of that was mentioned. Instead, you know what you heard? You heard the glorification of self and how good everyone is and how deserving everyone in attendance was to receive the very best God is obligated to bestow. More troubling as the program came to the end was the perception of the I wills and I cans mesmerized thousands that shouted, repeating his words. You know, it kind of reminds me of another place in Scripture where someone kept referring to I am and I will. Kind of reminds me of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and 15. "For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." Who does that sound like? Who does that remind you of? All the, I can do this and I can do that. You see, the Laodicean church bases its thoughts on actions on terms of, number one, self-glorification and physical prosperity and wealth. The end days church is clearly described, as Jesus did in Revelation chapter 3, as lukewarm. It's so far from teaching and preaching the gospel, so far from being what God wanted it to be. This church preaches and teaches that people are good and deserving of God's blessing and help. It does not teach and preach that people are not good, that they are lost in their sin, thus in need of a Savior. The Laodicean church teaches and preaches that all is well if money and physical comforts are in abundance. That prosperity is the key to a glorious future is the message, sweet to the taste of those who sit in its luxuriant pews. It appeals to self, the same as did the serpent to Eve in Eden. And I know that I gave this illustration of Lakewood Church there in Houston, Texas. But folks, let me just say this. That type of philosophy is not just in Texas, may I say. That type of lukewarm philosophy is alive and well, and even in the churches in our own area. Just like the Apostle Paul put his finger on our time, I'm convinced that the sugary feel-good sermonettes, the likes of which Osteen and others pour to the itching ears of today's Laodiceans, is exactly what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And churches of America have indeed increasingly moved away from pointing at sin as requiring condemnation and sinners as requiring redemption. The results have been that the increased inclusiveness, this greater toleration of sinfulness in concert with every imaginable evil gushing from the debauchery of the day has produced a society and culture rivaling that of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know why, folks? Because the church is not what it ought to be. By the way, how's society doing? How's things going in this lukewarm age we find ourselves living? Well, the divorce rate has doubled. Teen suicide has tripled. Reported violent crimes have quadrupled. The prison population has quintupled. The percentage of babies born out of wedlock has risen sixfold. Couples living together out of wedlock have increased sevenfold. Gay marriage is now legalized reality in a number of states, which the end is not even in sight of that thing. Why is that so? Because the Church of Jesus Christ has become comfortable. You see, folks, God's never interested in mankind doing the things that benefit himself the most and makes him feel good. God's plan has always been for mankind to do the things that benefit God the most and that please him. And in turn, as mankind pleases God and do the things that God wants to do, then God blesses us with the peace that passes all understanding. God gives us a purpose and a way into which to live our lives no other. But let me tell you something, folks. That's not the number one priority. The number one priority is to do the will of God. As a byproduct, God gives us those things. Yet instead of being spiritual, many Christians today are interested in only what makes them comfortable. As I preach this message tonight, let us keep in mind that this message is not being preached to the churches across America. This message, as God gave this to me, was for tonight for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, praise the Lord. I wouldn't classify our church as a comfortable church, and I'm thankful for that. You know why? Because we have a pastor that keeps stoking the fires for us not to be comfortable. But let me just tell you this, folks. It's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to be comfortable in our spiritual life. It's easy. And just because we have a pastor who stokes the fires and a pastor who isn't comfortable doesn't mean that if we're not careful, we slip into a lax, comfortable state. So I want to preach this message to us tonight. I want to preach this message to me tonight. And I want to challenge us to not be comfortable, but to be spiritual. Not to be comfortable, but to be spiritual. I'm going to make several statements, and then at the very end, I'm going to give you a very practical way how not to become a comfortable Christian. But let me make some statements about this lukewarmness that's going on here. Number one is this. Lukewarm works do not make you a spiritual person. Lukewarm works do not make you a spiritual person. Notice the testimony Jesus said of this church in verse 15. Look what he says. Well, what's the first statement there in verse 15? I know thy works. I know thy works. Lukewarm works, just because someone is doing something and doing it in the name of God or in the name of religion, does not make them a spiritual person. You see, folks, in the Christian life, you have to keep your works in perspective, because that's where you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. I mean, some people will try telling you that, you know what, you have to work your way to heaven. Some people think that just because you're saved and that's good enough, and God doesn't expect you to do any type of work. Some people think as long as you're doing something for God, that secret sins can be justified. I mean, so you've got to keep this thing of works in a Bible perspective here. I mean, you've got to understand what the Bible says about it. By the way, are works important to do for the Lord? Absolutely, they are. In fact, the book of James tells us this: for as the body without the spirit of dead is dead, so faith without works is dead. So let me say this tonight. Doing works for the Lord is important. It's very important. Okay? But folks, listen. Just because you may do certain good works don't necessarily mean that you're a spiritual person. Because I'm afraid here's what happens. And we'll talk about this here later on. But you see, what happens is, on the outward, we may be performing works. But the problem is, the inward is as cold as could be. And when the inward's cold and the outward is busy, you know what you find yourself? You know what category you fall into? Lukewarm. Lukewarm. And you know what, by the way, it's very interesting here. You go back and look at every church that John wrote a letter to. You know what you find in common about every single one of those churches? Here it is. First of all, Church of Ephesus. Unto the angel of the Church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works. Hey, the Church of Ephesus was a working church. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and last, which was dead and is alive. You know what he said here? I know thy works. Hey, that church was a working church. He says it again in Revelation chapter 2, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works. Revelation 2, verse 18 and 19, to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet as fine brass, I know thy works. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he which hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth, I know thy works. Hey, you know what you find in common about all these churches? You know what they were doing? They were all working. But were all these church perfect with the Lord Jesus Christ? Were all these church exactly what God wanted them to be? And I'm afraid sometimes in our Christian life, we fall into this faulty mindset that as long as we're doing works, then everything's okay. And folks, listen, you know what? The problem is when we do outward works without the inner relationship being right with the Lord, we're no better than the Pharisees. We really aren't. We're no better than the Pharisees. In fact, when Jesus talked to the Pharisees, okay, he never condemned them for the works that they were doing. He just condemned them for the fact that they were doing religious works without that inner relationship. So let's not fall into that faulty mindset that lukewarm works make us a spiritual person. Now don't mistake me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work for the Lord. We should work for the Lord. We ought to work because we love him. We ought to work because that's what he's commanded us to do. But let me tell you the main reason we ought to work is because of that inner love we have for Jesus Christ. That inner love that we have. So lukewarm works do not make a person spiritual. Number two statement I want to make about lukewarmness is this. Lukewarmness is not acceptable with God. Let me say that again. Lukewarmness is not acceptable with God. Here's what Jesus said. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Notice what Jesus is saying here. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. Choose cold or hot. Pick what you want to be. But you know what? You cannot be both. You cannot be both. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Moses said this to Israel just before he passed off the scene. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, both thou and thy seed may live. You know what Moses was doing? He was calling the children of Israel to make a choice. To make a choice. Joshua said this to Israel right before he passed off the scene. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what Joshua was doing? He was calling the people to choose. Choose whether you're going to be cold. Choose whether you're going to be hot. But you have to make a choice. You know what I say to us tonight? I say this. Figure out what we're going to be and then be what we choose. Figure out what you're going to be. I mean, I have more respect for someone who, you know what, they say, you know what, this whole Christianity thing's not for me, and I choose not to have a part of it. I got more respect for someone like that, although I disagree with them, although they're making a bad choice, although they're making a choice with bad consequences, I got more respect for someone like that than I do people who try to ride the fence on things. Listen, folks, don't ride the fence, okay? Pick what you're going to be. Pick a side. Either be cold, either be hot. Because when we're lukewarm, we don't choose a side. You know what we are? We're comfortable. We're comfortable. We want to sometimes people want to live their life how they want to live it, and then sprinkle a little Jesus on top and thinks everything's going to be okay. But that's not what God wants us to be. So lukewarmness is not acceptable with God. Number three statement I want to make about lukewarmness is this. Lukewarmness makes God sick. Let me say that again. Lukewarmness makes God sick. Did you hear what Jesus said in verse 16? So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm going to pat you on the head and call you a good Christian. Is that what he says? You know what he says? I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know what that word spew means? It means vomit. That's what it means. Now, I'm not going to tell one tonight, okay? Because even saying the word vomit makes me want to gag, okay? I've got a real weak stomach when it comes to that stuff, okay? I mean, I can gut a deer, I can do all that, get my hands bloody, but you let me see kid vomit and I want to go vomit, okay? Or any kind of vomit for that matter. All right? And I'm sure everyone in here has got a really good vomit story, okay? I mean, I'm sure we all do, all right? But for sake of my own stomach, I'm not going to tell anyone tonight, all right? And after the service, I don't want to hear yours either, okay? Now, think in your mind of that nasty, disgusting vomit story and how gross and disgusting that made you feel. And then think about how God's church being comfortable must make him feel as he looks over the landscape of America. As he looks and sees his children, who he gave his only son for, who suffered like no person had ever suffered, who is willing to do what no person would ever be willing to do, who gave like no other has ever given, and did what no other has ever done. As he looks and sees his children, who should be obeying his commands and serving him with a fire and a zeal, but instead are too busy to give any time for him and the work that he's called them to do. Why? Because instead of being hot, his children are comfortable. Comfortable. Comfortable living in their houses. Comfortable eating of their feast. Comfortable playing with their toys. Comfortable eating, drinking, making merry. Why souls by the thousands daily drop into a burning eternity. Too comfortable to care. Too comfortable to go. Too comfortable to sacrifice one bit for the work of God. It's no wonder that lukewarmness makes God sick. Makes him sick. You see, folks, the purpose of the church, as Pastor said this morning, was to set afire a world that is dying and going to hell with the power of Jesus Christ and the gospel. I mean, folks, I believe there's so many miracles out there waiting to happen. There's so many divine appointments waiting to be had. But the problem is we're too comfortable to get out there and find them. And you know what? Instead, the church, instead of being on fire and accomplishing the work of God, instead of, as Jesus said this morning, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, you know what's happening? They're comfortable. They're comfortable. You know, I've never really been a big fan of the song Hold the Fort. I get it. I understand it. But I'm not a big fan of it. You know why? Because the Bible never commanded us as the church of Jesus Christ to hold the fort. The Bible commanded us to storm the gates of hell. And that's what we got to be busy as the church of Jesus Christ doing. Why are we not storming the gates of hell? You know why? Because we're lukewarm. We're comfortable. We enjoy the things instead of getting out of our comfort zone and accomplishing things for the Lord. So number one, lukewarm works do not make you a spiritual person. Number two, lukewarmness is not acceptable with God. Number three, lukewarmness makes God sick. Number four is this, lukewarmness leads to spiritual blindness. Lukewarmness leads to spiritual blindness. Notice what Jesus said in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It's the same thing Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 13. He said this, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You see, folks, you know what? In the eyes of the church of Laodicea, in the eyes of the comfortable church, they have it all. This church probably had a nice place to meet in. By the way, I'm not against a nice place to meet in. It's important to have a nice place to meet in. They probably had money in the bank. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to be wise stewards and use the resources God gives us. You know, they probably had all the social programs of the day. But as in everything, you know what? In the spiritual world, it wasn't their opinion of themselves that mattered. It's God's opinion. And you know what God's opinion was? In your eyes, you may have it all. You got the money. You may have the place to meet. You got everything you think you need, but thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What a sad testimony of this church. Let us always be thankful, folks, for the fact that we have a pastor who hasn't allowed Blessed Hope Baptist Church to become too comfortable. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you glad pastor's always getting up and challenging us to do new things? I mean, as he was talking to us men about the new church plant and the things like that, he says, yeah, you know what? We could probably take this extra money and we could build ourselves this or do this or do that. And he says, I'm not against those things. But if we're not careful, a church will start turning inward and forget about the outward. And listen, folks, listen. We cannot afford to become comfortable. What a sad testimony that this church had of itself. What a sad testimony. And have need of nothing. What a sad testimony. Folks, I hope we never get to the point where we think that we're in need of nothing. We are in need of something, folks. You know what we need? We need God. We need Him, folks. Yes, we do. We need Him. We need His protection, like He says in Psalms 91, verse 11, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Have you ever just stopped and thought about how God protects us? I mean, God is such a wonderful, I mean, we read a testimony of that tonight, of Brother Reitenbach, how God supernaturally protected them through that circumstance. We need God's protection. We not just need His protection, we need His promises. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Hey, you know what? You need the promises of God to keep you going some days, folks. I mean, you get a little discouraged, and you begin to wonder, at least I do sometimes, Lord, is the Word of God true? Is it really real? Are you going to really do what you said you were going to do? And then I read about it, and I think about it, and you know what? I'm encouraged by the promises in the Bible that God gives us. You know why? Because we need His promises. Not only that, we need His power. We need that. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, you know what? I've been guilty of trying to do the work of the Lord without His power. And let me just say this. I've done it with His power. I've done without His power. Let me tell you what I need. I would rather do it with the power of God. Let me tell you something, folks. We need the power of God. Just not the pulpit, the pew. We need the power. Hey, bus captain, you need the power of God to reach that town that God's given you to reach. Hey, Sunday school teacher, you need the power of God to be able to teach those young people. Hey, Christians of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need the power of God as we try to impact this area for Jesus Christ. We need His power. We not only need His power, we need His presence. I love what Moses said in Exodus 33:14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. And here's what Moses said. If thy presence not go with me, carry us not up hence. Folks, we need the presence of God. We need God. I mean, I love that song. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And you know what? We don't just need the presence of God within the walls of this building. We need the presence of God every day as we live our life. We need the presence of God. Hey, mom and dad, that's a good question for us all. Is the presence of God a present in our home? Is God there? I mean, can people just know being around you that the presence of God is upon you? We need His protection, His promise, His power, His presence. We need His provisions. Philippians 4:19, the Bible says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. By the way, this promise wasn't just for the average Christian. This promise was for those who are busy giving their material possession to the Lord's work. And you know what God says? You busy, and you do what I've commanded you to do. You obey me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to provide your need. You know what I just believe? I just believe that God's going to provide every need for our new church plant down in the Princeton area. I believe that. I mean, as we've taken time, and I pray that you're praying about this property, and I pray that you're taking time to pray over it. You know what? I keep reminding myself, you know what, God? You're going to provide, God. You're going to provide. Hey, humanly speaking, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know I can trust His provision. You know why? We need His provision. Not only that, we need for God to have the preeminence. The Bible says in Colossians 1, verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Hey, you know what Jesus Christ said? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And you know what? We need God to have the preeminence. What am I trying to say, folks? Don't let our testimony be as this lukewarm church of Laodicea, that we have need of nothing. We do need things. We need God is what we need. That's what we need. So when we get to the place where we have need of nothing, then you know what? We're at a place of lukewarmness, which is a place of spiritual blindness. So lukewarm works do not make you a spiritual person. Lukewarmness is not accepted with God. Lukewarmness makes God sick. Lukewarmness leads to spiritual blindness. So after all these things, these statements I've just made, would you agree that it probably wouldn't be a good thing for us to be lukewarm, amen? That's not what God wants us to be. And as I studied this message and I read this passage, God convicted my heart about being lukewarm in areas of my life. And I don't want to be lukewarm. So I'm going to give you tonight, and this really is the crux of the message, okay? I wonder where I learned that from. Taking the 30 minutes, giving an introduction, and then giving the message. I have no idea where I learned that from, but anyway, let me give you the message tonight, all right? How can we not be comfortable Christians? How can we be spiritual but not comfortable? Well, you know what? Jesus gave them the answer to that. He told them. He said, listen, here's what I want you to do so you can get out of your lukewarm state. Look at verse 18 and 19. Here's what he says. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Hey, you know what? This church wasn't beyond hope. This church wasn't beyond help. You know what? All they had to do was follow what Jesus said here. So how do we not become comfortable but stay spiritual? Here it is. Number one is this. Jesus said this, take gold tried in the fire. I counsel thee to buy gold tried in the fire. What's that mean? It means this. Labor for things of eternal value. That's what that means. Labor for things of eternal value. Hey, you don't want to be a lukewarm Christian? Then here's what you do. Number one, labor for things of eternal value. You see, there's a reason he said this, gold tried in the fire. You know why he said that? Because you know what? Gold doesn't burn in fire. But instead of burning, you know what it is? It's refined in fire. The dross is removed and it becomes more pure as more heat is applied. And that's exactly, as Christians, it's a picture of the fact that God wants us to live for the eternal. Labor for things of eternal value. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us this, every man's work shall be made manifest. By the way, folks, I promise you, this day's coming. This day's coming. For every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Remember earlier I said, talking about lukewarm works? Well, guess where the lukewarm works burn up at? Right here. That's where they burn up at. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And folks, listen, that day is coming. And so you know what we must do? We must labor for things of eternal value. Hey, you know what? We all could use a good dose of living for eternity. All of us could. You know what? God views everything in light of eternity. And by the way, so should we. You know what? Eternity is a very long time compared to our measly little 70. I mean, God says 70 as your day shall be. And you know what? If God gives us those 70, those 70 years, compared to eternity, it's nothing. There's no comparison whatsoever. That is why the devil is so busy getting Christians to get their eyes on things of this temporary world. I mean, you know, it's a trap. People get so caught up in making money and having nice things and having toys and playing this and playing that. And you know what? And caring about what this person thinks and that person thinks. And they have no time to live for things of eternal value. That is why God tells us not to lay up treasures on earth. You know why? For they will be lost. They will be lost. So how do you not be a comfortable Christian? Labor for things of eternal value. Labor for things that will matter 100 years from now. What will matter 100 years from now, folks? Things of eternal value. That's what will matter. Number two, how do I not be a comfortable Christian? Number two is this, live a righteous and holy life. Labor for things of eternal value, live a righteous and holy life. Notice what Jesus says here. He says this, that thou, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Now that white raiment there is a picture of a righteous and holy life. And as Christians, that's how God wants us to live. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey, as a Christian, you don't want to become lukewarm, then you know what you do? You live a righteous and holy life. Because as you do that, it's a sign, it's a picture that things are burning on the inside. You know, folks, the darker this world gets, the brighter our lights ought to shine. The darker it gets, the brighter our lives ought to shine. So how do I not become a comfortable Christian? Labor for things of eternal value. Live a righteous and holy life. Number three, look at life through spiritual eyes. Look what Jesus says here, the next remedy he gives them. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Look at life through spiritual eyes. The Bible says this in Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what he's talking about? Anywhere where there's no spiritual vision, people have no drive to live for things of eternal value. We must be beyond the temporal, folks, and see what God can and wants to do. We must be beyond that. Look at life through spiritual eyes. Don't look at things through the things that common sense, human reasoning. I mean, folks, when you look at everything attempted for God, you know what you see most of it? A lot of it never made any type of human sense whatsoever. I mean, we're right now, if you're following the Bible reading chart, you're in the Old Testament, and you should have been through Kings recently, and you read that story about Elijah and the prophets up there on Mount Carmel. Do you realize that whole scenario made no human sense whatsoever? I mean, here Elijah had that sacrifice brought out, had water poured upon it. I mean, what sense did that make at all? But you know what Elijah saw? He saw things through spiritual eyes. And because of that, you know what happened? The fire of God fell. Because he saw things through spiritual eyes. Now, folks, listen. We got to make sure as Christians we don't look at the temporal. We must look at things the way God wants us to see. And it's important that we follow that spiritual vision. By the way, when it comes to the church, you know, the spiritual vision, it comes from the pastors who it comes from. As the leader of the church. And we got to make sure that we get behind our pastor. And just as he preached this morning about that shield wall and work together and push to accomplish that spiritual vision that he has for our church. Jesus said this in John chapter 4, verse 35. Say ye not, there are 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white unto harvest already. You know what he was saying? You got to look at life through spiritual eyes. You look out there, you see this lost and dying world. I mean, what do you see when you're out there knocking doors, talking to people? I mean, do you just see physically the things that are there, or do you see their spiritual needs that they have? And that's what Jesus was talking about here. Oh, that we at Blessed Hope Baptist Church would see things with spiritual vision. I mean, when we see those precious bus kids that come in here on Sunday morning, may we see beyond their mismatched clothes and their snotty noses, but a future where they will one day be serving the Lord. Do you see that when you see your bus kids? Do you see that when you see the kids sitting out in your Sunday school class? Can you look at them through eyes of a spiritual vision? I mean, folks, look, I mean, so many great servants of God that God has used. You know what? When they were younger, when they were growing up, you know what? They didn't come from the best upbringing. They didn't come from the best places, but someone cared enough about them to see them through eyes of a spiritual vision. And you know what? That keeps you warm. That keeps you hot. It doesn't allow you to become lukewarm when you look at life through spiritual eyes. And last of all, how do I not become a comfortable Christian? Listen to a loving Savior. Look what he says here in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous thereof and repent. Just the fact that he's telling us about our lukewarmness is the fact that he loves us. Just the fact that he takes time to tell us that we're lukewarm. That word zealous there, be zealous thereof and repent. That word zealous, it means have warmth of or feeling for. You know what he's saying? Get hot inside. Be zealous and repent. Start burning. Get hot. And if you find yourself comfortable in your Christian life, then you know what we need to do? We need to do exactly what he says here. We need to listen to the loving Savior. You know what? Jesus in our lives is God's very good about bringing us. The Bible says the goodness of the Lord leadeth to repentance. The goodness of the Lord. I mean, listen, God's first object of rebuke is not always just striking us with lightning or something. I mean, that's not God's first choice. God wants us to repent. He wants us to be zealous. You know what? He wants us to keep ourselves right with Him. But the problem is, if we keep hardening our hearts, if we continue in our lukewarm state, then you know what He's got to do? He's got to make it a little harder on us. And before long, if we don't continue to come out of that, He'll do exactly as He said to this church, spew this out of our mouth. So I don't know about you folks, I don't want to be lukewarm. I mean, as I study this out, God challenged me in my personal life about my lukewarmness. So how do we keep from being lukewarm? How do we keep from being comfortable? Number one, labor for things of eternal value. Are you busy in the harvest, folks? Are you busy? Are you doing anything for the heart? Are you laboring for things of eternal value? I'm so thankful that we have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what we have? We have a church of laborers. I mean, I don't know of anyone that isn't out busy working and trying to provide for their families. I'm so thankful God's given the ability to work physically. But may I say this? Okay, that's important. We ought to work. The Bible talks about that. And I'm so thankful. But are we also laboring for things of eternal value? It's important that we work to provide for our families, but it's also important that we work for the kingdom of God. Labor for things of eternal value. Number two, live a righteous and holy life. Live a righteous and holy life. If you don't want to be lukewarm, folks, live a righteous and holy life. You know what? If you're even remotely have just Christian standards, you automatically stand out in this crazy world we're living. I mean, you know what? When you go places and you take your family with you and you go in public, people can automatically look at you and know something's different. And folks, listen, we know, as I've said before, we're not trying to be pharisaical. We're not looking down on people, but we're living this type of life because that's what God wants us to live, because we don't want to be lukewarm. Number three, look at life through spiritual eyes. Look at life through spiritual eyes. Are you seeing the spiritual vision, folks? Are you seeing it? Are you looking at it? Number four, listen to a loving Savior. Listen to a loving Savior. And I don't know about you, folks. I don't want to be lukewarm. So I'm going to do these things. I'm going to labor. I'm going to live. I'm going to look. And I'm going to listen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the message tonight, God. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord. Thank you for this testimony from the church of Laodicea. And God, help us, every single one of us, Lord, not to get comfortable in our Christian life. And God, sometimes it's easy to do that. And Lord, that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to get comfortable. He wants us to get used to things and not stretch ourselves and not get out there and accomplish more for your cause and for your sake. Lord, help us not to get to that point in our lives. Thank you for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, God. I pray you bless the dear folks here. God, what a great place to be a part of, Lord. But help us, Lord, never to get lulled into being comfortable, to being lukewarm. I pray you bless this invitation. Lord, if there's someone that's not saved, I pray that they would accept you as their Savior tonight. Lord, there's no way we can ever be hot if the fire of the Holy Spirit's not living inside of us, Lord. So if someone's not saved, they would accept you as their Savior tonight. Bless this invitation, we pray, in your name. Amen.